there has to be some culpability here. And if there's a progression of accidents, one, we understand it's unfortunate, it's tragic. But when you start seeing 2, 3, 4, 5, that's a problem. And you just can't ignore it. If you ignore it, you're ignoring public safety. And to me, as a commission, public safety is first. And the road department. So that's my angle. I appreciate your time. I've got pictures. If you want to look at some pretty cool pictures. And welcome to these events.
I think we can definitely add that in. We'll have a partner with HGR Engineering where we have projects listed that he can do, you know, do the studies on and pull past accident data. And we can definitely get that, see if we can make that fit into the matrix and get it, get that set and going. I know.
Where is this at?
Down on M Highway.
About 3 miles down M. I can send you it. Yeah. I know it pretty well. My great-grandfather homesteaded that place.
One state trooper says it's 10 miles east of Kissing Mills. The other state trooper says it's 15. So
Tom, right where you cross Stabs and you cross Cedar.
Okay.
Bottom of Tony Muller Hill.
Yep, that little water spot would come up and make that bend.
And you're recommending a guardrail is what's going on.
I recommend a guardrail. I mean, I gotta go up high because I referenced the Sioux Olive Race Hill, which is your territory.
Yeah, that's Josh and Lacey's house. Yeah,
state
road right there.
And County Road, so I kind of jumbled in there together. So it's all of this.
Yeah.
And I referenced it simply because there's a 25-mile-an-hour section road on Brace Hill that has, and I measured with my cars, about 550 feet of guardrail. And very similar telemetry, if not identical. In comparison to the in-highway location. And that being said, it's a 25-mile-an-hour road. So my question to Ms. Schaller was, what engineering decisions went into putting that guardrail there? Was it an engineering decision for public safety, or was it an engineering decision because of the plethora of accidents there?
I don't mean to cut you off, but what you do get into there, a little bit of a difference on that of on Brace Hill, and I go right where you talk about, you know, that same corner that rolls, that's a county road as opposed to, you know,
right,
M Highway being a state highway. And not saying that it's not necessary down there, but that's what, you know, if it seems, you know, sometimes stuff's a little easier for things to happen on the county roads for us.
Right, you got a little less bureaucratic red tape to understand. And I think that after my discussion with Michelle, from a citizen's viewpoint, just a dumb old citizen out here, just a taxpayer from the woods, she had said that she needed more data. And that, to me, is just like saying that, well, I need more people to get hurt, more people to get killed before we make a decision. So that's, to me, that's just not acceptable.
Well, that's something we can definitely do here through HGR is get the data pulled on what has, you know, he could do with the...
Yeah, I've got this recent accident. Keith had talked to me about other accidents that he had seen there. I've also got my son's accident information. And I know that the state's going to put the flag in there for driving conditions. I was supposed to let roads, and this one on the 20th of December was ice. I had to, just because I'm one of those guys, I'm very thorough. I had to look up the definition for it. You'd be surprised. It's pretty interesting. It basically states it's designed to keep the vehicle on its wheels. If that isn't a self-explanatory description of safety, I don't know. I'm a 15-year veteran with the railroad. I'm president of the union. I'm very familiar with the way unions run. We operate a meeting almost every day before you do. In that capacity, safety, and if you have any idea what the railroad does, safety is high top of the conversation every single day when you get to it. And it's not just our city, it's public city. How much tonnage are we running? How many miles an hour are we out the run? What's the speed in the curves? And you've always got somebody who runs in the cab. And you can't put a price on it, see? If any of you remember the flag of Vanek, when the train ran around and burned the town, it killed a lot of innocent people. And that's why safety's out there, is because we have protocol we have to follow. And it's always, if not every single time, as a result of tragedy, that we enforce new rules, new laws, new protocol. So, this is a tragedy. So, it's my simple plea, I guess, to try to get some guard around the spot to prevent somebody else from having to endure what we do every day. Appreciate your time.
Well, while you're still here, Mr. Wesley, I've got a couple of thoughts here. I don't know. I'm looking at everybody on the board, but we're going to look into this. We're going to move forward with this. We're going to make a difference. So you just start with that. Let me tell you two things. The reason the lettered routes aren't maintained very well, anybody? MoDOT hasn't had a fuel tax increase, which is how they get their money, since 1999. So if you want to start making a difference, besides talking to this group, talk to your legislature and legislator. I think it'll be Travis Smith will probably be your guy.
Yep.
And Mike Moon will be your senator. And tell them that there's got to be, at least in my words to them this month, is we have to get serious about this funding. So, because the first thing that MoDOT's going to come back and say is, we get this. Now, buddy, I'm assuming you've been to these, Randy, you've been to these too. We go to these MoDOT prioritization things, and I will tell you, it will break your heart when person, and this is state level, after person comes up and tells your story. Everywhere. A great number of them are lettered routes. And they've been taken off of the priority list at all. There isn't even, many of them are not maintained on a regular basis. And it's a dollar and cents. Are we placing dollars and cents on people's lives? No. We're setting priorities on how we feel about highway, and their number one priority is safety. And so the roundabout thing is, we want them to be safe. We just don't want to give them any money to respond to these kinds of things. But let me tell you, when you go to those meetings, when you're done, you, at least for me personally, I almost hate to come up and talk about my project, because it pales in comparison to people that have lost both their kids on a bridge, or this, that, and the other thing. And you come back and they say, well, who else, out of the fatalities we've had, who else wants to give up their priority and we'll fix this? Because, and normally you would say, well, they're getting funded and they're coming along and they're just saying this. Except that we went into this last round with $1 billion in MoDOT assets in their, I'll say savings account because it's simple, but their operating fund. We're down to $300 million. $300 million could be one bridge project on the Mississippi. And we have nothing. There is no road maintenance. There is no anything. And so all I'm asking you or appealing to you is to the people that wrote those letters and that, write one more. Write those to your legislators. Get on the website. It automatically, when you type them in, says, speak to Travis, and you just start typing. And tell them that story. And that will, we don't want to do these things in a series where we work on it, then we're done, and you work on it, blah, blah. We want to do parallel stuff. Everybody needs to be on this all the time. And until we get serious, we're so proud that we pay 3 or 4 cents less for our gas around here than anybody else, or Missouri does. And those pennies that we're saving are these lives that are lost because of trying to figure out how we can fund this stuff. So any one given project, can they fix M Highway? Yes, they can. The problem is, and intellectually we know this, in our heart it's a little different. There's M Highways in every single 114 counties of this state, and all of them have those stories. So that doesn't make it any easier or any better, and you've got our commitment that we're going to move forward with this. But also, we're asking you, you help us with some heavy lifting here with the legislators.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Being in the union, I can't tell you, membership is 110% of your success or failure. And attendance at meetings is the same thing, because that's people that want to be involved. So that's not a problem. I have no problem talking to center membership.
Well, it's important for everybody. And a lot of times, when you talk about funding a MoDOT, somebody will recount the time when they saw two highway workers sitting on the side of the road eating a sandwich or whatever. Or they striped the highway. This was the Lyle Rowland story. They striped the highway one day and then they paved it the next and went over the top of the stripes. Okay, granted. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
That is no reason. You handle that on a case-by-case basis. That's no reason to not fund safety improvements because they didn't manage a specific project well. And the other 125, they handled very well. So, for whatever that's worth, yes. And if you take a look, and what we'll do before you get out of here is let you take a look at one of these rating sheets on that so that you can see how the system, what is important, what isn't important, and how they're ranked. And you'll see that safety is a significant part of the ranking on those sheets. The sheets that we use are deliberately designed to look just like the ones the state uses so that when we go to competition with everybody else, for these dollars, it's easy for the state to look at and understand it.
Be transparent.
So, again,
we want to thank you for coming in so that we know there's a problem and we can get it on there. I mean, most of us weren't aware of it.
Ignorance is bliss, I guess. You start realizing there's a dynamic to everything in the process. It's not always simple. So, I'm in it.
Someone else may have better Travis made than I, but I think it's about 2 years ago, MoDOT was pushing a bill to turn the letter roads over to the county. Remember that? And it, what stopped it is there's so many counties were blessed that are poor than paying that simply could not maintain them. But
yeah, if that bill would have passed, they automatically went to the counties, all letter roads.
Yeah, that was their solution. In the 30s, they took all the letter routes in from the counties in exchange for support for a gasoline tax originally. And now their solution was, well, we'll just give them all right back to the counties for nothing or for almost nothing. And luckily, that got stopped. But it comes up about as often as anytime as we're talking about funding. Somebody always goes, well, let's just give half the roads to these people that don't have any money either, and then we'll walk away from the table.
Those of us that work with streets know that if you do something on a MoDOT route, you have to also enter into a road relinquishment agreement for an equal number of miles. When we do this expressway, if we do it to federal standards and we do it in the right order and construct it and get federal dollars, they're going to make us take over more routes. You know what? So be it, at some particular point in time. But obviously we have no more money than they do. We can tell you that not only is the state going broke, the Federal Highway Trust Fund has not been in once in the last, I'm going to say six renditions of it, only once has been extended for 5 years. The rest of the time it operates off of a continuing resolution.